Welcome to the Let's Talk BS podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Sophia. And we're coming to you live
from the 757,
where we discuss real estate, culture,
and current events.
Hey, good morning, Sophia. How you doing?
Good morning, Brian. I'm doing pretty good. I'm struggling with my allergies this morning. But
I was about to say, you got the sniffles, it sounds like.
Yeah. I do. So excuse the sniffles, please.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I took allergy medicine, but I don't know. You know, it's hit or miss sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've been doing pretty good this allergy season. I used to have allergies really bad, but I don't know. I feel like I started to, like, this allergy, so maybe like a month ago, I started to sneeze in the morning. And so I was like, man, I'm going to get in front of it. I normally am stubborn. I just try to, like, you know, not take medicine, not take anything or whatever. But I was like, this year I'm going to go ahead and start taking my Allegra early. And I've been fine. Like, it's been, I mean, really good. I mean, I'll sneeze maybe occasionally here and there, but all the years I can look back and remember how, like, I mean, it got to the point where I used to have to wake up early, like 10, 15 minutes early, because there was like a whole, like, process of what I did of, like, sneezing, my eyes would get red. Like, it was just so much that it would happen before I would even be able to take medicine. Yeah, that, you know, I mean, now I'm just not as bad as I used to be, so.
Yeah, I don't take Allegra, though. I take Claritin.
Okay.
Do you know which one is
stronger? Do you know which one is stronger? Maybe.
I believe Zyrtec is the strongest out of them all.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I took some the other day. Claritin works with me, but
I feel like Claritin was like, I know when I used to take, because Claritin was the first one.
They got two different levels, though. They have a Claritin and a Claritin D.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Claritin, I remember when I used to take it, it wasn't, I guess, I don't know, potent enough. It wasn't strong. Like, and then I know when I start taking Allegra, I feel like Allegra, it seemed like it worked a lot better.
Okay.
So maybe just like you said, maybe.
Does it make you drowsy?
Allegra, nah.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean drowsy at all. No, okay. I always take it, I pop in right before I go to the gym, or like if I'm wake up in the morning, if I don't go to the gym that morning, I'm getting the kids ready, I always take it then and I'm good for the rest of the day. So you take one pill, you know, for the day and that's it.
Nice. So, allergy medicine is expensive, man.
Yeah, it is.
I went to the store, I think I got for 20 pills. It was like $25.
Jeez.
That's what I said.
That's crazy.
I was like, so I only got 20 days with this.
Right. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And then it's me and all of us have allergies.
Yeah.
So that's not going to last.
Do the people in the house, do they take the pill as well? Or the kids, do they take like the little like liquid medicine?
I know just Carter takes liquid. Everybody else takes, even Jada, she takes pills.
I remember, man, funny story growing up. I used to hate swallowing pills, man. Pause.
Yeah, but that.
I used to hate swallowing pills, man. Like, seriously. Like, I remember my mom would always try to get the liquid version of stuff. But then I remember the doctor was just like, sometimes, like, the pill is, like, stronger. It's, like, better for you, I guess. Better for you. But basically, it was at a point where I was, like, 14, 15 years old. And they were like, look, man, you got to learn how to swallow these pills, man. So I remember I used to, like, dread it so much. And then I remember I would practice with Flintstone pills, which was funny. Like, you know, the Flintstone
vitamins.
Yeah. Because I used
those are chewables.
I know they're chewable. I just used to practice with them so I could try to get ready, like, for the real.
That was a tough practice. Them things is like huge.
Yeah, they are. Or I would break it in, you know, break it in half. Or whatever. But still, anyway, long story short, I used to really dread, you know, taking pills and having to drink and swallow them and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's easy now, but back then I'm like, oh my gosh.
I still struggle with the big capsules, like the ones like that are like, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Certain vitamins, they're huge.
Yeah.
I still, as an adult, struggle with those. I feel like as I'm swallowing, my throat is like, because it's too big.
Yeah, yeah.
But outside of that, I'm pretty good when it comes to taking pills. So how's your week been?
Yeah, my week has been good. Coming off of Easter last weekend.
Yeah.
You know, it was good, man. I always like to, you know, Easter, I always feel like it's like a spring Thanksgiving is how I look at Easter almost in a sense. Like, obviously, we're celebrating Jesus Christ rising.
Right.
And so it was, you know, it was cool on Sunday. You know, I hung out, well, excuse me, take it back, on Friday, taking a step 2 days back. Friday, We had a client event with one of the agents that I work with. Mm-hmm. She had an event where we did a scavenger hunt or Easter egg scavenger hunt for the adults. So they had like little, like, you know, adult things like little wine bottles and, yep. you know, scratch offs and things of that nature in these Easter eggs. And so she had it at her broker's office. So it was cool. I went there Friday night, hung out, you know, was able to see some past clients that we helped purchase homes, kind of check in with them, see how things were coming along, you know, what they had going on. So that was Friday. Then Saturday, went to Farmhouse Brewery. That was pretty cool. They had a big thing going on for Easter for the kids. So they had like, get to meet the Easter Bunny. They had like just different like, drawing and coloring of like Easter pictures and things like that. And so Brooke and I, we both like to drink beer, especially her, like craft beer. So we went there. It was a lot of people there too, man. And we had to actually park across the street, and they already have like a big area for you to park, but we had to like actually park across the street. And it was pretty cool. I ran into a real estate agent that, I actually, on one of the projects that I just finished about a month ago, she was the agent that was representing the buyer. And so she was there. And so I ran into her. I was talking to her. She was just, you know, talking about how the buyers, you know, still rave about the house. She kept in contact with them, obviously. And, you know, so it was pretty cool to see her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Saturday. And then Sunday, I went to church with my family, my mom and my dad. They go to this church that's actually right around the corner from where we grew up at. It's a really, really small church, too, so everybody knows each other. It was funny because, like, you know, I walk in there, everybody's, oh, you're Bill and Alfreda's son, and, you know, hey, and seeing other, you know, seeing our kids or whatnot. That was pretty cool. And then after church, we went to the Founders Inn. The Founders Inn had this big buffet that they do every single year. And they also had a lot of activities for the kids, too. They had, like, mm-hmm. face painting, balloon, like, things where you can make, like, you know, my daughter, she got a mermaid balloon made, and my son got a bear, which is funny. It's funny. My son's funny. But anyway, and they had like a little Easter egg scavenger hunt as well, where the kids were able to, you know, walk around. And I ate way, way too much. I felt like I gained like 5 pounds just there. They had a whole bunch of food, but it was good. It was good to kick it with the fam, kind of catch up a little bit. My sister was there with her boyfriend, so all of us were there. So, yeah, the weekend was dope. What about you? Did you do anything special this past weekend or anything for Easter?
No, not really. I mean, so, no, we did not. We ended up, what did we end up doing? So Sunday, actually, my daughter, she said that she wanted to barbecue. Okay. And so I told her that I wasn't barbecuing because if you're a black girl, you know, when your hair sits in your face, if you barbecue, if you've ever done it before, that smell gets into your hair, mm-hmm. and then it like sticks. And I didn't feel like washing my hair this past weekend.
I know when I cook on the grill, because actually I take that back. On Saturday, you reminded me, on Saturday when we came home, because they have food trucks there at the Farmhouse Brewery, and the food won't really hit on nothing for real. So I end up coming home and making some steaks on the grill and some hot dogs or whatever. And like you're right, like after like I cook on the grill, like my clothes, I have to immediately wash them because my clothes smell
just like grill. And so imagine it being your hair, and I can't just like take my hair off. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, you
this
could.
Is mine.
I mean, you could if you.
No,
you know
this
what I'm
is
saying?
Mine. Okay, I don't take right, this one right off. Now, this is grown out the scalp.
That's the real joint. That's the real one. Okay.
So I can't just take this off. I mean, I know it's times when I can take it off, but not in this case. And so I told her, I said, "Well, if you want to barbecue, you need to do it." So she agreed. So it was funny because I was like standing in the back door, like telling her, like, do this, now do that, now do this. And she was just like, she was over barbecuing like way before she was finished.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
She did chicken, ribs, and she made shish kebabs with like steak and peppers and corn.
Okay, sounds good.
And then I in the house made mac and cheese, sweet potatoes and green beans and cornbread.
Okay. Oh yeah. So y'all did a big thing. That's what I'm saying. I feel like it's like Easter is almost like a second Thanksgiving because most folks I know for Easter they get down. They eat a lot. You know, some folks are fasting from certain things.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like a, you know, obviously a big celebration to, you know, really get it in. So that's what's up.
Yeah.
You ate a lot.
So we ate. And so we cooked and we ate. Mm-hmm. And then let me think. We went straight into spring break. So
Spring break this
on
week.
Tuesday, we went to Busch Gardens and we were there all day. We got there at 12. We left at 8. Then we tried to go to this restaurant called Cheddar's in Newport News.
Oh, yeah, Cheddar's, yeah.
But they wouldn't take us. They said it was too many of us. And they couldn't, they didn't have any service to service. So then we left there.
Hold on. You said they, was they, it like about to close or something?
I mean, within an hour. But still.
Were they like packed or something?
No. But I guess she said that people had called out. So she wouldn't be able to seat us for another hour. And I was
like, how many were
y'all? It was six of us.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Okay. She pissed me off real quick. And at this point, I had been with the kids all day. So, like, my cup was full.
Your cup running over.
So I was like, I looked at her and I probably gave her the death stare. I was just like, all right. So we went across the street to Red Robin and we ate there,
okay,
and then we headed back. So we didn't get home till like 10:45.
That's crazy. So
But it was a good time. The kids slept good that night. Like, I didn't have no fight. Like, there was nobody saying, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
We came in, showered, and next thing you know, everybody was asleep.
So that's what's up. Yeah, cool. That's crazy. I know me and you had kind of talked about it, you know, the day before. But I had went to Busch Gardens as well. We had planned to go. That was something the kids were really looking forward to during spring break. So we got out there pretty early, man. We left the house around. We were supposed to leave at 9. Kids was dragging, so we ended up leaving 9:30. And we got there at like 10:30. And I tell you what, when, like, to get in the, like, get in there, to, you know, to get your parking pass and all of that stuff, like, when you're coming into Busch Gardens, it was super packed. Like, I know at that time, I mean, like, it took us, like, 20 minutes just to get from, like, I mean, 100 feet. I mean, it was a long, long time, but we ended up getting in there, and we had a good time. We stayed from, I would say, probably about 10:30 to probably close to about 5, I want to say, is when we left. It was a lot of people there, but I will say that if I felt like I didn't wait too long. I mean, it was, you know, most of the rides were about a 20, 25-minute wait, you know, when I was there, you know, during the time I was there or whatnot. But it was cool. The kids had a great time. The way we typically do is we always go to the Sesame Street part first. So we go in the park and make a left. We go in there and kind of hang out there for about 2 hours. So we were there from like 10:30 to like 12:30. And then we end up grabbing some lunch, you know, over at the Italian spot. So we'll go over there and get to the little Italian
place. So we went to the Italian spot.
Mm-hmm.
But then the reason why we left there was because I had to. So the dynamic of how we did things was, Maya had a buddy. Mm-hmm. She had her friend there with her.
Mm-hmm.
They're teenagers, so they went and did their own thing.
Oh, okay.
And then it was me, Carter, Jada, and Jada's friend, Mir.
Mm-hmm.
And their mom, she had to work that day.
Mm-hmm.
So she kept stepping away to go to her car to, like, take a meeting.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, Busch Gardens is huge, so she had to, like, walk through the park, go to her car. So she would be gone for like 2-3 hours, right?
Wow. Yeah, okay.
So I pretty much had three kids. Four.
That's four kids, right?
No, you three. Said Carter, Jada, Mir. I had
three. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I had three kids with me.
You said Maya went away. Yeah,
Maya went away with her friends, so they kind of did their own thing.
Yeah.
And so we went to the Italian spot, and when we looked at the menu, Carter and Mir, very picky eaters. Mm-hmm. They don't really like eat too much new stuff. They're the chicken nugget french fry type of kids.
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, we're not gonna go to get this Italian food and then you don't like it.
What I'll tell you though is, because my kids are very similar to, like, maybe not as much, but my kids are very picky too. And so what they wanted when we got there, they wanted a hot dog. Like, that's what they wanted.
See,
like,
Carter will eat a hot dog, but he won't eat it with the bread.
Gotcha. So they wanted a hot dog. So, but we were hungry, like, because we hadn't really ate breakfast. We had a little bit of breakfast, but not very much.
Yeah.
So, like I said, around 12:30, we was looking for food, and a lot of places were packed because that's lunchtime, right? And so we seen the Italian spot, and they just had, like, several different things that you can get. So they had, like, pizza, you know, Italian pastas
and
stuff.
We didn't see all that.
So they had another thing that they had is they had, like, some like, almost like Chinese food. They had, like, noodles with, like, you know, sesame chicken and Mongolian beef and stuff. So Brooke and I actually shared a plate of that. And then they also had, which you couldn't really see. That's what I was going to say, like, because it's like a cafeteria style. So they had like small other little things inside of it. From the outside, you really couldn't tell.
Yeah, but
they had like chicken nuggets and fries, or that's what I was going to say. Oh. They actually did have that. That's what my kids ended up having, was chicken nuggets and fries, because they're very picky as well. Like, they didn't want none of that stuff besides the chicken nuggets and fries. They really wanted a hot dog, but, you know, we at least in that media area, we couldn't find any or whatnot. Yeah. So, yeah, we got there like 10:30, ate lunch around like 12:30, 1 o'clock, and then around that time, we went over and did some more rides for the kids. But I was able to break away for a little bit and then ride Pantheon, which was fire. Okay. It's my third time riding that ride. It's the one where it goes up like this, and then it brings you all the way back, and it hangs you like this. That joint was crazy. It's the newest ride they have there.
Mm. I didn't even see that one.
Yeah.
What color is the roller coaster?
It's like brown, like a brownish color. Yeah, it's kind of it's right there near, and the other ride that I love, I've loved it since I was a kid, was Apollo's Chariot. That's another ride that I got on. So Apollo's Chariot Apollo's Chariot, and I forget the name of the other ride. The Griffin. They're all in that same area. Then you just got to go over a hill, and most people don't go over that hill. You go over the hill, and that's where Pantheon is. Because Pantheon is like by itself. That's the only thing that's over there.
Yeah, we didn't get on those rides because Maya was like, I'm not getting on the Griffin.
Yeah.
And Jada wanted to get on everything, but she didn't meet the height requirements. She's 52 inches, and I think for those rides, you had to be 54 or 58 or something like that. But she for sure didn't meet the height requirement. But she did get on, it's like the, what is it called? What is it called? Oh my gosh, I can't think of it. It's like two things and they kind of swing like this.
Oh yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. That's right over there by, because we were looking for funnel cakes and we had like the places we normally get funnel cakes from, they were saying that they didn't have any or they were shut down for maintenance. And so there was one specific place that had funnel cakes. So they were super packed when we went. It was right by the barbecue spot.
That's
but
where
right
we
when
ate.
You yeah, right when you walk past it, like coming back, that I know what you're talking about, the swing where it goes up.
Yeah.
It's like it's over some
Jada
water.
Got on that.
Oh, she did.
Yeah,
well, that's what's up.
Her and Mir, they had such a good time on that. She wanted after that, she really wanted to get on the Griffin.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, once you kind of like that's how roller coasters are, man. Like once you kind of like did it and you kind of conquered, I guess, that fear that you have or whatever, it's like it's almost like a drug. Like you didn't, then you want more. You know what I mean? So that adrenaline is running or whatever. See, that's why I can't wait for my daughter. So for me, it's like this. Brooke, she's terrified of rides. Like she don't like rides, so she don't get on none of the rides. My son, he got that same energy. He don't really like rides. Like he just he not feeling that.
Okay.
My daughter though, love that joint.
Yeah.
Like she's like, I mean, I remember we went on a ride like a year ago, and she wasn't even supposed to. There was so many people there, they really weren't checking height for her, and she really wasn't supposed to be on the ride, and she was excited. And my son was just like, oh, my God. And, you know, he's older. He's 2 years older than her, man. So it was just fun. Even this past time, we went on a ride, and she was just, like, excited, like, I want to go again type of thing. And my son was, like, darn near in tears because he was just like, oh, my God, it's moving too fast or whatever. So I know when she gets a little bit older, probably, like, 8 or 9, if she's tall enough, I know she's going to be my rollie when it comes to like riding on rides.
See, all my kids like riding roller coasters. Maya just doesn't, she won't get on the big ones without me.
Yeah.
And I can't get on them because I got Carter.
Correct.
So it's kind of like, you know, the dynamic of how it goes. You just can't, I can't do it. But
and it sucks because I will say like right now for me, like I went on two rides this past time. I normally go on 2 or 3 rides by myself, like the bigger rides. I went on Pantheon and Apollo Share. And it sucks because I go on them by myself. Like,
correct.
I'm literally, like, the kids,
and that's how
Brooke,
she would
they
have
sitting
to do
there,
it.
Yeah, and I'm just going. So it does take the fun because you, like, and it,
yeah,
like,
you
I had,
don't
I had
have
little,
that partner
that
to kind of, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, I had this little kid beside me. It was funny. He was, like, losing. He was, like, so nervous. I was like, you good, man? You okay, little fella? He was like, I'm just trying to concentrate. I'm just trying to concentrate. I was like, okay, I'm going to let you do your thing then. You know, and then after
that's
the ride was
funny.
Over, I was like, you did it. I was like, you did it. And he was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad. I was like, yeah, it wasn't that bad, man. And this kid was pretty young. I mean, I would say he was probably maybe 10. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He wasn't that old at all. And you know, but it was cool though, man. Like I said, we ended up staying until, like I said, about 5. So we was there for about 6-7 hours. And then
Left at 5. Okay.
Yeah, we left at 5 because at that time we had kind of conquered everything. It actually started to get pretty warm because when we first got there,
it was
actually pretty cool.
Cold.
We had jackets on and everything.
We did too.
And I ended up coming out my jacket around like 2 o'clock and take the kids' jacket off or whatever. And then, like I said, around like 5, the kids started to get like hungry again, like real hungry. You know what I'm saying? We had already ate a couple of times there. And so what we did was, because typically, I remember we had a time where we went to the park, Busch Gardens, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, and driving back home, it took us 3 hours because we left at like 3 o'clock.
Why?
And it was just so much traffic. I mean, it was like, I think it was an accident in the tunnel. Oh. And it was just so, so bad. So what we typically do now is anytime we go to Busch Gardens and the kids don't have to go to school the next day, is we stay in Williamsburg. Because Williamsburg is actually, a lot of people don't talk about, Williamsburg.
Which way do you go when y'all go home?
Monitor Merrimack. Yeah, it was a pretty bad accident. And I had already got too far to the point where I couldn't like pivot and leave and go back HRBT. So I was just stuck.
That's the way I took in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just talking about this.
I left at a different time,
too. Yeah, I'm just talking about this one particular situation that happened. So, I mean, you know how it is. Like, it kind of scarred me. So, from now on, so typically when we go to Williamsburg, we just, like, hang out there and stay there for that night and just come back in the next day. So, that's what we did again this time. But what I will say is, because we kind of ventured out, we ended up going to Mellow Mushroom and had dinner, had pizza there. But Williamsburg, man, they got some nice stuff out there, man. I know, like a lot of times, I know for me, I stay in the Hampton Roads, kind of stay in my seven cities bubble. But Williamsburg is a little bit further out, but they've built it up a lot, man. They got like a lot of nice like restaurants, like date night, like bars, stop, like cool family, you know, or just like, you know, you're hanging out with your significant other type of restaurants out there. So I was looking, I was like, oh, man, there's some nice stuff I want to try to maybe come back to and check out or whatever.
Nice.
But yeah, we hung out at Williamsburg and then we came back the next day, and then that was yesterday. Yesterday was kind of just, you know, playing catch up, cleaning up, you know, with work. I missed a lot of stuff on Tuesday from work, so.
Oh yeah, man, that was horrible. My phone died at like 2:30.
Oh wow.
Yeah, phone died. All I had was my watch, and if anybody knows, like texting from your watch, like it's cool to get, you know, just a quick message out, but you can't have like a full fledged conversation on the watch. Nah, like it's just not gonna happen.
I don't
that
even
way.
Think I've really like ever text from.
I have. It's just one of those things where, like, I quickly respond. And even then, sometimes because, I don't know, the watch thinks I have an accent, so I'll say something and it'll pick up something totally different than what I said, and then I have to erase it and then do it again.
Gotcha.
And I'm just not, I don't have that kind of patience anymore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I was like, I'm just going to, you know, respond to everybody the next day. But
that makes sense.
A good time. And then yesterday, my daughter, she's braiding one of her friend's hair to make some money from that. And then we were just chilling around the house, really. I mean, I worked majority of the day yesterday, just kind of catching up from Tuesday.
It's crazy I didn't even run into you, too. I mean, it was a lot of people there.
It was a lot of people.
I knew you was there, so I was like, it'd be dope if I see Sophia. But, you know how it is. You follow running behind the kids, doing stuff in lines
absolutely.
And all that or whatever.
Three kids with me. Yeah. So, and then eventually Maya and her friend came and hung out with us because, you know, we were in line for stuff and they would cut the line and come up there with us. Yep, you know how that goes. Yep, so, yep. And then they ended up going away because we ended up getting henna. Me, Jada, and Maya and Irie, we all got henna. Mm-hmm. Carter and Mir got face paint. Carter was a tiger. Mir was like this fairy or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then we got funnel cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had funnel cake.
I haven't eaten funnel cake.
What kind of funnel cake did y'all
get? I got the apple one.
Okay.
And then Maya and her friend got the cinnamon bun.
That's what I got. That's what I
was. And then by this time, their mom had came back. So Chris got hot fudge sundae.
Yeah, that's what my son got. Yeah.
And so we pretty much just kind of like
a little bit
of everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was okay. That's the thing.
Cream. Yeah, ice cream on yours.
Yeah,
too.
I had ice cream on mine. That was probably what I ate the most was the ice cream. Yeah. And then Jada, she doesn't even eat funnel cake. She just got a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
And then, but yesterday I bought crumble cookie.
Yeah. I told you about crumble cookie before.
I never had it before, but I bought some yesterday.
Cookies are huge, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got this oatmeal pie
one,
and they got key lime pie.
Okay.
Those are my two favorite.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Crumble's good, man.
That oatmeal thing was so good.
It was. I'm trying to think if I've ever had an oatmeal cookie from there.
It makes me want to go get one today. It was so good. Like, it was so good. And I'm not usually, like, a pastry or a cookie or a cake person.
Yeah.
But this oatmeal thing was so good. And it had like something on top.
Of it, yeah.
It looked like ice cream, but it might have been cream cheese, but they cool it. Yeah. So it tastes like ice cream. It was so good.
That's good. Yeah. Crumble. Yeah. Crumble cookies are good, man. They're huge, man. I know I had went to Crumble Cookies, man, probably like, because there's a new one that they just opened over in Edinburgh, which is like
six, seven minutes. Yeah, that's where I ordered from.
I had it delivered to the house last night.
Yeah, yeah. Because I had a sweet tooth. I was like, oh, I want something sweet. And so I started looking on Uber Eats, and I saw that or Duck Donuts. And then when I went to Duck Donuts, like, it's too much to order Duck Donuts on an app.
It's a whole
like,
bunch.
You gotta do way too much.
You gotta put a certain ice in and do this and put a certain top in. Then you gotta order a certain amount of donuts. Sometimes I'm out for like two or three.
No.
I gotta get six. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's a lot.
I was like, yeah, no, we gonna do crumble cookie because I don't got the patience again to sit here and submit this order. Like, it was too specific. I mean, I like that, but at the same time, there should be pre-selected options.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
I agree with you.
Like, hey, you know, just give me the variety pack. I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now I've done that before. It's funny you say that. I've actually had that exact same thing. That's why I've never done it. Because one time I was going through an order, and I was like on donut three, and I had to go through six of them. I didn't even really want six donuts, but I had, like, I guess the order minimum was six.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm just going to find something else.
And then you have to really know what's on that donut, too, right?
Correct.
Because if you go in and you look at the menu,
yeah, I just name
the maple glaze, you don't know what's all on the maple glaze unless you, like, really pay attention to the ingredients. Because I think it has, like, three or four different things on there that you don't even realize are on there.
Yeah, because
so I just, yeah, let it
for
go.
For donuts, for me, my favorite is like, it's called like a beach bum or beach something. It's like, or the beach or something like that. So I just know it by the name. I can't even tell you exactly what's on it, like all the different ingredients. So I couldn't even recreate it through, you know, Uber
Eats
or whatever.
To, right.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, that's what's up. Yeah, crumble cookies is definitely good.
I might get that oatmeal cream pie today.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
It ain't a bite. I am going to get that cookie.
Nah, I'll blame you. That's what's up. That's what's
up. So in recent news, did you see, I know that last week we had a guest, so we really couldn't touch on this, but the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Maryland.
Yeah.
There was an accident with a cargo ship. And I was there that week that I had left D.C. area that Sunday. And I think the accident happened like that Monday or Tuesday or something like that, right?
Week. Yeah, yeah.
And it happened at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just remember like on my way back yesterday from Williamsburg, which is where Busch Gardens is, I was on the, what you call it? The Modern
the Merrimack.
That.
Yeah.
And
that.
And I was on the bridge and I was just looking like,
uh-oh.
He looked down there.
Yeah, he done coming around.
He looked down there. Cargo ships.
Yeah, yeah.
It was nighttime, so you couldn't really see.
Yeah. So I left the next morning. I definitely peaked more than what I normally would peak. You know what I mean? As far as seeing what was going on.
It's like
how they say when you were a kid, you got to, before you cross the road, you got to look
both ways.
Yeah, I'm sitting looking both ways, you know what I mean? So
I definitely was kind of nervous. I ain't gonna lie to you, but
yeah, that was crazy, man. That was real. I got a buddy of mine who lives in Maryland. He's in the Air Force up there, and I was like, we have a group text, and we were talking. He was like, man, he's like, honestly, he says he takes that bridge every day, like the days that he's going to work and he's running a little bit late, which he said is pretty frequently, you know, because they have a young child in the house. He was like, he typically takes that bridge because it gets him, you know, to his job faster. And he was like, that, I mean, obviously it was 1 o'clock at night, so he wasn't, you know, whatever.
Yeah, you're
whatever.
Not
but
out
he
that
was
late.
Like, he was just like, it was just crazy to like, be, that's a bridge. And he frequents like, he would say 3 to 4 times a week. And he was like, to see it happen to that bridge, he was like, it
it's
was just,
unreal.
And then like, and then, you know, then like, obviously, you know, he saw like, because he lives right close to it, like he's seen like what it looks like. And I know they're trying to like clean it up and they're still, I mean, this was like what, almost 2 weeks
yeah,
ago,
they,
just 2 weeks ago.
They're had,
still not.
Ships. So I guess there are like Carnival cruise lines and different cruises that come into that area. And there were people who had went on a cruise prior to the accident or the incident.
Yeah.
And those people were actually rerouted to a different area and had to get flights back home.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that on the news and I was like, damn, just imagine,
you
know, you having to be at work on a certain day, return back. Because, you know, a lot of people, they will give themselves that extra day, you know, to rest before returning to work. But then some people live life on the edge and they'll
That's
come
me.
Back that night
That's me.
And go to work the next day.
That's me.
And so just imagine you having like deadlines or something at work.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to get back home. And chances are, if you're on a cruise, you really don't know what's going on.
Correct.
You know, on land.
Yeah.
You're kind of like isolated for that short period of time because you don't really have service like that. And of course, realistically speaking, you're on a cruise. Like, I'm not trying to look at my phone.
Yeah.
You know, unless I have to,
Of course, yeah.
And so that was kind of sad to see that happening. And then there was something else that happened recently, and I was like, man, is this a sign? I can't remember what it was, but it was something. Oh, the earthquakes in Taiwan.
Okay,
happened like a day or two ago.
Yeah.
And I saw people were on a bridge as it was, you know, happening. And I thought for sure that bridge was going to collapse. And I was like, man, like, these real life things are happening. I wonder what's coming.
Hey,
you know?
I know, right? I'll say this. Have you ever experienced an earthquake before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so I have, man.
Where?
It was here in Virginia. I remember it was the craziest thing. Yeah, so this was... I remember I was working at Bank of America at the time. I'll never forget this. This was crazy. So I was working at Bank of America, and I remember, because I was at the Bank of America in downtown Norfolk. And so what happened was we were celebrating something because our manager was taking all of us for lunch across the street to MacArthur Mall, and we were going to have lunch on my manager, right? And so I was coming. We were all in the elevator. And I never forget this. Like, the elevator was, like, shaking, like, weird. And, like, it was just, like, really weird. But you know how the elevator, it could happen. You know what I'm saying? So you're, like, not thinking, like, it's an earthquake.
I've been stuck in elevators before.
Yeah. So it was just, like, it was shaking. And then we got out. And then, like, I remember, like, there was, like, a security guard that was in the front because we were coming out the front of the building. He was, like, yo. He's, like, are y'all okay? He's, like, luckily y'all didn't get stuck. We were, like, what happened? He was, like, yo. They don't know, but the ground was shaking. I think it was an earthquake. And everybody's like, an earthquake in Virginia? Like, that normally doesn't happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, coming out the front of the building and, like, everybody that worked in, you know, downtown Norfolk areas, a lot of people. Right. Everybody was, like, walking out of their buildings, like, just like oh, my gosh.
Coming to,
like,
see what happened.
What happened. And, like, we were like, wow. And I remember immediately... cell phone service just stopped. Like, nobody had cell phone service. So we was like, yo, what the heck is going on? And then I remember we was walking to the mall, and the people in the mall was talking about it. It was like a big thing. I remember this was probably about maybe 10 years ago, I want to say. I have to Google exactly when it was, but it was a big thing. I remember
it had to be more than 10 years ago, because 10 years ago you were working at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, you're right. I'm tripping. So maybe
14.
Like, this is 2014. So this is probably like, maybe 2010, I want to say.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe 2010, 2011, because it was shortly after college. Yeah, I know.
18 years ago.
I was sitting thinking, like, when you said it, I'm like, 10 years ago? I'm like,
I mean,
oh, 14, you're right.
15 years ago.
Yeah. So
that's
this was
funny.
Yeah, but I remember my dad, because he was working up, he was somewhere, I can't remember, but he was like, I think he was in Newport News at the time working. And he was like, yeah, they felt it. I mean, it was like a big thing. It even went up to, like, I think, like, Northern Virginia, D.C. Like, it was a really, really big, massive earthquake.
Yeah, 2010, 11, I was living in Miami. So
yeah, that was my only experience of
and I lived in a high rise too, so maybe
I don't know if it went that far down. Let me see, earthquake in Virginia. Oh yeah, it says 2011.
Oh yeah,
on August 23rd, a magnitude your state of Virginia at 1:51 p.m. I remember earthquake hit the Piedmont region of the U.S. state. Yeah, so this was 2011.
5.8. Ooh.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Okay.
It was a big one. Yeah, it was
a big one. Because the one that happened in Taiwan was a 7.something. 7.4 or something like that. It was pretty up there. Yeah. Yeah. And then I also saw in the news where...
that's crazy. That was 2011.
You know, colleges...
13 years ago. That's great. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Colleges have kind of been like my thing lately. So I've been kind of paying attention to college because obviously my daughter's getting ready to, you know... start college in the next few years. And so, you know, we've been paying attention to things that have been going on. And there's an article that I was listening to, and it says that 150 individuals, including staff, Students and alumni of North Carolina University have been diagnosed with various types of cancers and diseases.
North Carolina They're, State, right? I heard
North Carolina State University.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And these health issues are allegedly believed to be leaked to Poe Hall.
Dang.
Due to high levels of toxic chemicals. And some of the cancers that are... some of the cancers include lymphoma, thyroid cancer, breast cancer. So basically these students either lived in Poe Hall or they worked there or they were there, you know, for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of crazy, that's scary to know that you're where you live could affect you in that manner.
That is crazy. Yeah, especially, you know, college students, you know what I mean? Like that time in your life, like that's crazy. That's crazy because obviously you're not thinking anything like that could be happening.
No.
You know what I mean?
So, you're there to learn and have fun for the most part. So it was kind of...
And it's crazy because NC State, I know NC State, they're located in, was it Raleigh, if I'm not mistaken? Raleigh, North Carolina. And they're I know it's March Madness going on. I know we're now in April, but they're doing really...
Hold on, wait. What? So March Madness is in April?
Yeah, so the championships are this weekend. Okay. So it kind of bleeds over until the first week of April. Yeah.
You said March Madness. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Yeah, so March Madness is going on right now for the men's and the women's. I've been keeping watching it or whatever, but... the Final Four is this weekend for the women's and the men's. And NC State, that school you just mentioned, they have a team, the women's team's in it, and also the men's team's in it as well. I mean, both of them were teams that weren't expected to be in the Final Four. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Highlighting one of the girls,
I was going to say, one of the girls, Asia, she actually went to Princess Anne High School, which is here in Virginia Beach. And she's out there balling. She's averaging like 28.
Oh, wow.
She's playing for NC State. And so she's playing really well. But it was the big game that came on Monday night. I know everybody was talking about it was Iowa played against LSU. And they were talking about Angel Reese, you know, who's a really, really good player. She's been really polarizing for LSU. And they won the championship last year. And last year in the championship, they played against Iowa. And so there was kind of a rematch of that championship game. And Iowa has probably the best player in college basketball right now. Her name is Caitlin Clark. And she's a beast. Like, I think this game, they won. So Iowa got the revenge. Iowa ended up beating LSU. So they're moving on to the Final Four. And Caitlin Clark had like 41 points, 12 assists, and like something on, I can't remember how many rebounds as well, but she was balling. Like, she reminds me of Steph Curry. Like, she's out there just shooting from deep. And I was showing my son, me and him was watching the game, and he was like, "Dad, what makes her so good?" And so I was on Instagram. It's crazy how the phones work. He asked me that question. I just pulled up Instagram, and the first thing that came up was like a Caitlin Clark video of her working out. And so I was showing, I'm like, literally that happened just like
that. Big brother.
Yeah, so... what happened was I showed him like her workout and he was like, "Man, she's doing a lot." I was like, "Yeah, that's what it takes to be great." I was like, "You got to work hard at your game. So when you come to when it's game time, it's easy." And so he was like, "Oh man." And then he immediately went and we have like a little hoop in my man cave. And so he went in there and started shooting shots or whatever. So I was like, "Yeah." So it's just funny, like how you said, as far as your daughter, you know, when she went to Howard and seeing things like how, you know, when you show kids something, you can see the light bulb sometimes come on in their brain. And,
absolutely.
And it really kind of motivates them to, you know, to work hard and to do what they need to do to get what they're trying to get. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then in speaking of kids and everything that's going on in California, they just recently passed social media laws.
Yeah. I saw that. It was it's crazy. So they're. If you're in California and you're a child and you're under the age of 14, then you cannot have social media. Like, you're banned
but,
from
but,
it.
Okay, so this is the thing that I don't understand. So what stops that child from just saying, "Oh, I'm born in 87? Like,
you're right. I don't know.
Like, it's social media, so it's kind of like one of those things where how do you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they probably got some type of layer of something to, like, account for it. I don't know. I have no clue what it is. But you're right. I mean, there's always ways to work around stuff.
Yeah, so these teenagers, they
clever, man.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you. So just a couple days ago at the oceanfront, I guess the high schoolers in the beach, they had their own spring break celebration this past week. And my daughter sent me a picture of this teenager walking down what street is that on the ocean? Atlantic Pacific.
Yeah, Atlantic Pacific? Or Pacific. Yeah, whichever. Yeah.
With a, it looked to me like an AR-15.
Oh, for real.
Walking down the street, like in his hand, and that anybody know what that is? I mean, you're talking a gun that.
Yeah, it's heavy artillery. Yeah,
exactly. Walking down the street in Virginia Beach, and I was like, "What the hell?" Like, so I looked at my daughter. I was like, "You see why you don't go nowhere?"
Let that be an example.
Right. Let that be an example. Yeah. And someone took a picture of him, but they took a picture of his backside. But I hope that someone turns that picture in and. Or got a view of the front side, and that kid needs to be.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I don't know. Something need to happen. I can't really say what, but why would a child want to go to the oceanfront with that type of?
Yeah, who let that person? Who's the
parent to that kid? Because there's no way. Maya can't even walk out the house with a belly shirt on, let alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
it starts at the top, man, as they always say.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of times, that's why you see sometimes when you have these crazy situations that happen and it's these minors that do it, a lot of times the parents also, they get charges put against them
as well.
They
should.
Because that, you know, should a lot be of times, a law. A lot of times, in some states, you know, it's different in different states, but some states, I mean, they'll also get arrested as well because, you know, obviously they're responsible for that child. And then a lot of times the weaponry that they get and things of that nature is from their parents, you know what I mean? So it's crazy. Like, I remember seeing a shooting that happened. I can't remember what state it was in, but the dad actually gifted the son a gun at his 16th on his 16th birthday. And I'm like, why?
Why?
What's the point of giving? excuse me. What's the point of giving a child? Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
He's sick,
but
what did he need a gun for? Like, and then there's only bad that can come from that. There's nothing good that can come from you giving your child
Absolutely.
And you give it to him where now they have it and it's like it's not supervised. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. You know what I mean? But anyway, going back to the social media portion of what we were saying, that, you know, under 14 now in California, you're not able to have social media. And then if you're between the ages of 14 and 16, then you're able to have it, but it has to be authorized by a parent. And it's crazy. I remember, man, like, you know, being in college and Facebook coming out. And I remember.
You had to have a college email address.
Yeah, you had to have a college email address to be able to access Facebook. And then, you know, obviously we've had like things come out as far as MySpace and obviously Instagram and things of that nature. But it's just funny. Like, I remember having a Facebook and then like still being cool with people who were like a year behind me, maybe that were still in high school. And so I was telling them, like, yo, I got Facebook. And they were like mad because they couldn't get access to Facebook or whatever. So, you know, obviously the transition now in times of like, you know, young people having a social media account and all that. Like, I don't know, man. I just think that's dangerous, man. You know, having a social media at that young age. So I'm not mad at California for stepping up and doing something like that.
I know
some
people either.
I know some people may like, you know, freedom this or whatever. But nah, I just think it's too much. I think the internet, it's too much access, man, too much going on out there for a kid to, you know, have that at their fingertips like that.
People do
man.
Stuff for the internet.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, that ain't even the real life that they live. They just doing it for likes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it was funny. I was at, we was in St. Thomas. Almost 2 weeks ago now. It was crazy because we were on the beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in the water, all of us, like, you know, from the company, we were all there just kind of chilling. We had drinks and stuff. So we were in the water just talking, having a good time. And it was this dude and this girl. They come up, they pull up. And mind you, we're all there together, so we don't know who these people are. They pull up to the beach and they, like, the girl gets out. She puts her tripod down in the sand. And this dude is, like, this big brother. He looked like a big security guard, like 6'4", probably, like, 260. And he's sitting there just standing there posing. And she's, like, literally just has her tripod and just doing stuff in the water. Like, she's doing her own music video. And I'm just, like, and I just see him, like, no, you got to do it this way. No, you got to do it this way. And it was just, like, it was just funny. Like, I know she was doing all that for Instagram. You know what I mean?
Of
like,
course.
That, exactly what it was, or whatever social media, TikTok, or whatever.
TikTok,
you know what I mean? So it was just funny. Like, she pulled up and they had like, it looked like it was like a person showing up for a job. Like, they came, sat there, they were there for about an hour, and then they got and left. And I was like,
That's
they went to the beach, you know, she took her clothes and all this and started doing stuff, and he had music playing so she could move around. I'm like, yo, this is wild. Like, doing it for the gram, as they say. It's crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, that's not me.
She said, that's not me.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And then one thing that I want to talk about was there's two things that I really want to touch on when it comes to real estate. I definitely want to send a reminder to people when it comes to your monthly payment, because I've recently had this happen or come up in the last like couple weeks or so where, you know, a buyer is really adamant on payment, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very specific on payment. And kudos to you for being, you know, trying to stay within your budget. But you also have to remember that, one, the interest rates is what drives your monthly payment. And so in that initial time frame, like when you're first starting out, your rate's going to float. So you may float somewhere between 6.75 and 7.25. And that change in rate can change your monthly payment. So if you are dead set on a certain payment amount, you may want to lower your sales price amount or just a little bit to give you that wiggle room to qualify for the payment that you want.
Yeah. Or and just not shop people, at the top of the budget. I mean, correct. I think that's really
shop
what it is.
Shop at the top of the budget.
If we say, hey, you're pre-approved for X amount of dollars, or hey, if you buy a house at this price point and this is what the payment is as of today's rates, you know, if it takes you 2-3 weeks to find a home, which is totally normal, totally fine. If rates fluctuate and you're like, hey, that's your top of your budget of what you're willing to pay, you know, or what you're comfortable paying, if the rates go up, then now you're in a situation where you're going to be paying more than what you may initially thought you were comfortable with, what you said you were comfortable with. So either just coming to the realization of knowing that up front, or you may just kind of want to, like you said, look at homes, maybe that's in about $15,000, $20,000 less or so. With the fluctuation of rates, it really won't impact you hitting that mark of where you want to be monthly.
Exactly. You know? Also, another thing that you want to keep in mind is that only your principal and interest is fixed, right?
Yep.
So your taxes are driven by the city. Mm-hmm. Your insurance is driven by the insurance company that you choose. So if tax rates go up, guess what? You're affected by it. Yeah. If insurance goes up, guess what? You're affected by it. So a year after you've purchased your home, if you see an adjustment in your mortgage, it's because your taxes and your insurance may have gone up. It's no different than auto insurance. I'm pretty sure most of you have experienced where your auto insurance has changed just slightly. It may not be a huge jump, or in some cases it may be.
Yeah.
But I've never had auto insurance that stayed exactly the same amount, and I've been driving for a very long time.
Yeah.
So same rule applies when you're buying a house. So if you are, you know, expecting for your payment to be a certain amount, in a year from now, your amount goes up. You know why.
Yeah.
Because only your principal and interest is fixed. That taxes and insurance definitely can fluctuate.
Yep.
So can your flood insurance if your house is in a flood zone.
Yep.
So can your homeowners association fees. I even seen it to where the way homeowners associations work, and this is actually something that's going on in my community right now, there are people who do not pay their homeowners association fees. And guess what happens? All of that responsibility falls on the other homeowners that are in that area. So if that budget falls short, then the property manager will likely either increase your HOA or do a one-time fee that you pay to catch back up.
Yeah, like a reinstatement fee almost.
Something to that. I can't remember the exact wording on it, but if you live in an HOA, you have to be aware of those.
Yeah, you can also, you know, an HOA can actually, you know, you can get foreclosed on if you don't pay your HOA as well.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, because you're right. There's some people who will manipulate it and not pay or whatever. But, I mean, there can be, and when you buy that house, you sign a document. It's a writer. It's a HOA writer that you sign that they could actually come for your home if you don't keep those dues up to date.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, and I was going to, kind of pivot into something. I was having a conversation. I have a group text, a couple different group texts I have. It's funny. I feel like there's only maybe like two or three people I talk to, like individually, text wise, you know, that are like friends.
Right.
That are like,
yeah.
Not like, you know, obviously,
but
I talk
everybody
to
else in a group chat.
Everybody else is like, it's a group chat for them. Like, I got, you know, two of my closest friends, like us three, we all in a group chat. And I got my family, we in a group chat. Then I got, you know, guys I grew up with in high school, we in a group chat.
Uh-huh.
And I got guys we talk about boxing, we're all in a group chat. Like, and that's how I talk to them, is just in those group chats. So it's just funny.
That is funny.
But anyway, I was in one of the group chats yesterday. It was actually some folks I grew up with. It's like 15 of us in the group chat. We all went to high school together.
I don't even know how you do that.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so it's all of us grew up.
Because I could never be in a group chat with 15 people.
Yeah, yeah.
It would stay on mute.
Yeah, no, it is. Mine does stay on mute. It doesn't vibrate throughout the day. But I'll see sometimes, like, when I'm looking to see that it says, like, I have, like, 50-something text messages and they're all coming from that chat.
Happened.
I'm like, something must have happened. So I go in there, they got some tea or something. But anyway, yesterday, they were talking about, there was an article I seen that came out on social media that in majority of the metropolitan areas, it's cheaper to rent than it is to own, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, obviously in the group chat, I'm looked at as like the real estate or mortgage guru. Yeah. So they was like, hey, Brian, like, I want to hear your thoughts on this part, you know, of this article. And so I was like, all right, cool. And so a couple of buddies that actually live up in New York, you know, they rent, they don't own. You know, we were just having conversation. And so I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I can see how that's true. Like in some of the metropolitan areas, especially where rates are right now, interest rates when it comes to buying a house, I can see where on a monthly basis, you know, because beforehand when rates were, you know, lower, not even in the twos and the threes, but in like the four or fives area, even sixes for the most part, and where prices were, you know, there was a pretty significant difference in if you owned a home and if you rented. You know, it was a couple $100s,
correct,
you know, difference where, hey, if I own this home, this is how much I'm paying versus renting. Because of where rates are and because of where prices are, that gap has now closed significantly. And like the article said, in some metropolitan areas, you know, it's cheaper to rent than it is to own, right?
Yeah.
So what I always tell people about stuff when it comes to that.
Gotta talk about the benefits.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're just looking for, hey, I'm trying to get by, I'm just trying to make sure whatever I pay monthly is the cheapest possible, then I can understand where renting may be the thing for you, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, what I always tell people is the part that a lot of people that say those things don't really mention is the equity and how real estate appreciates over time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the game changer that
a lot of people don't understand.
A lot of people don't understand. Because when you rent, if you rent for 2, 3, 4 years, after your lease is up, all you're going to get back is like your security deposit.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe,
because
wear and tear you're responsible for.
Yeah,
so
sometimes
if the carpet needs to be replaced, then that's going to come out of your deposit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So you just think about it. You've paid a mortgage for, you know, let's say your rent's $2,500 a month, which is not uncommon right now with
correct,
the times that we're in, right? So you've lived there. You've paid for, I don't know, you lived there for 4 years. I mean, you're looking at well over $50,000 that you paid out of pocket to rent that place.
Yep.
When you own a home, it's not dollar for dollar, but it's very close to it that, you know, the amount of money you've paid over time, your house has now grown in that
correct,
value. So the same amount of money that you've paid out, the home is now worth that amount. The difference of what the home is worth and what you owe is roughly going to be close to that amount that you put out.
Absolutely.
That's called equity. And what I tell people is that's a game changer, because you could take equity and you can go buy more property to make more money.
Yep.
You could take equity out to start a business up, right?
You could take equity out to pay off debt that you currently carry.
Exactly. Like, you know, a lot of people right now are in some jams. I was talking to one of my buddies. He said things are tight right now and he rents. I'm like, hey, man, this is the power of making a decision. Like, I was having a conversation with him. I'm like, hey, man, I bought a property that's not even my primary residence. It's for investment use, and spent, let's say, $450,000 on it like 4 years ago, and now it's worth $750,000, $775,000. So that's now $300 of equity.
$300,000.
I'm sorry. Yeah, $300,000 of equity. So my net worth now has went up $300,000 by just making a decision 4 years ago.
Because
I could have not done it. I could have just rented or did whatever, not made a decision on buying that investment property.
Mm-hmm.
But buying that investment property, having a tenant live in there, rent it out, so I'm not paying it at all, and have that value grow like that is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a substantial growth. Now, obviously, on most cases, real estate appreciates from about 5 to 7% a year. That's like actually close to like over the last 4 years is about 30 to almost 40%. But still, like, that it's a significant amount of money that you can make. And
3%. What?
Yeah, I said real estate typically appreciates 5 to 7% year over year.
And the
example that I gave for my personal.
No, it typically appreciates 3 to 5. It was 5 to 7 during the pandemic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, put it this way, for the last 5, 6 years,
it's been on average about five to seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Historically, like you said, as far as like, you know, pre-pandemic and all that, yes, it was been 3 to 5.
Yeah.
But over the most recent history, it's been
five to seven. Also have to recognize the area that you live in. So,
correct,
you know, if you're living in, and I'm going to say this city because real estate isn't the greatest there, but like, let's say you live in Detroit, Michigan, where you know, the real estate market isn't as great as like here in Hampton Roads. We have a lot of turnover. We have military people who are moving in and out. And a lot of people in the military, they have noticed that, hey, instead of renting, I'm going to own. Mm-hmm. And then they purchase, live in it for 5 to 6 years, and then they sell.
Yep.
And so that constant turnover here in this area is what makes our market hot. And there are other areas that are considered hot markets too, but there are some that aren't as hot. So you just have to make sure that you recognize the market that you are in.
Absolutely.
And understand the appreciation in the market that you are in.
Yeah. But like I said, I always tell people the power, I mean, it's always for me how I look at it. You know, maybe you may have to pay, if you live in a metropolitan area, you may have to pay a little bit more monthly on our owning aspect now in the times that we're in versus yep. renting. But you get that money back, you know, twofold. I mean, you do. So, absolutely. I mean, that's always how I'm a proponent of owning versus renting.
And then also what came out in the news is that Norfolk and Chesapeake, they're considering real estate tax increases. And there's going to be a public hearing here on April 9th at 6:30.
Okay.
It is going to be at City Hall, which is on 306 Cedar Road. So if you guys want to stop, if you live in Norfolk, if you live in Chesapeake, you could stop in for that. The Norfolk public hearing proposal is going to be held on April 30th, 2024 at 5 p.m. And that's going to be held at the Slover Library.
Oh, that's actually where I got married at. That's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I got married at Slover.
Okay. Yeah. On 235 East Plume Street, room 650. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a part of, you know, what's going on and you want to go and listen to these proposals in person, then you can, if it, because this is going to affect you if you live in Chesapeake or Norfolk.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look into that, man. I live in Chesapeake, man, and taxes definitely have went up.
They have.
Mortgage payment went up.
You got your assessed value?
Yep,
yeah.
Yep,
I got mine like maybe like last month or so.
Yeah, I was going to say mine about, it was in February. I was like late February. It's about a month and some change ago.
Yeah. And also in real estate, I'll let you explain what wholesale is.
Yeah.
But then we'll jump right into what's happening in the news. So.
Yeah. So wholesaling, a lot of investors have, you know, had to work with wholesalers, I would say, as of late. But a wholesaler is when you have a person who connects a investment deal to an investor, right? So you'll have, obviously, let's say you have a person who wants to sell a home, right? They own this home. And then you have a person who says, okay, hey, I can connect you to a person who's an investor for a fee to buy this home and to be able to do whatever the investor, you know, wants to do with the home. And so typically, you know, what a wholesaler will do is, you know, they'll call, they have different ways to be able to, you know, they door knock, you know, they're really out here trying to find these deals that are out here, right?
Correct.
And if they say, hey, they find a seller that wants to sell a house, let's say for $100,000, you know, they'll link that deal to an investor and they'll throw their tax on top of it. So they'll say, hey, you know, investor, this, you can buy this house for $120,000.
Yep.
And, you know, that $20,000 is a fee that they
the
get,
wholesaler.
You know, once the investor, you know, finishes or completes the purchase of the house that the seller is selling. So it kind of, you know, I remember growing up, you know, when I was young in my real estate career, like, you know, we used to have to go out here and do it. And you still have to, but wholesalers kind of mess the game up a little bit because by them throwing their tax on these deals, it makes the margin for the investor a lot smaller. Mm-hmm. But they do, I feel like they do a lot of the dirty work for you because they can bring the deal to you, right?
Correct.
Because without them, in a lot of situations, you wouldn't know anything about the deal.
Yeah.
But I just think sometimes how much they're charging for this is, I think it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money. So I feel like this new thing that they're coming out with, as far as I'll let you jump into it. Sophia.
So what they're proposing or what they're doing is, before, anybody could be a wholesaler.
Yeah.
I could be a wholesaler. B could be a wholesaler. You didn't really need to have any credentials to be a wholesaler. You just needed to be able to connect two relationships.
Correct.
And you charge a fee for it.
Yep.
So the change that will be coming soon, and I believe that the date that this is going to be happening is in July of 2024, but they are going to be setting new rules when it comes to the wholesalers. And in order to be a wholesaler, you're going to have to be a licensed real estate agent.
Yep.
So that will in itself change real estate in addition to some of the new changes that have recently happened, like the real estate commissions.
Yep.
So they're really trying to hone in on how much people are being paid for some of these transactions, because they don't want consumers to be taken advantage of.
Correct.
Now, I do believe that when it comes to a traditional sale, both sides of the transaction should be paid. There is no way that a seller should be paid for listing a house and a buyer brings a buyer's agent brings a buyer to the house and they don't get anything. That is totally unfair. But I also don't believe in charging the consumer a ridiculous amount for a transaction.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they just have to find an even medium to that and figure out a way to make that process a little bit better.
Yeah. No, I get wholesalers hit me up all the time. And I would say majority of the people that I talk to, they're not licensed at all as a real estate agent. There are a few real estate agents. I will say, is the funny thing about it is the people who are licensed that are real estate agents, I get the better deals from them. Like, I feel like they're more, I'm going to say, ethical, more truthful, and they're not trying to tax you as much. But you got these other people who have made a business behind it where they're not licensed at all. And I feel like, you know, now kind of having that entry of being licensed will weed out some of these, you know, people who are kind of, you know, manipulating the wholesaling, you know, business, I would say. But, you know, I do feel like this will kind of change things as an investor for myself, as far as some of the deals and who have access to these deals.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll, you know, be like a gatekeeper for them to be able to actually have that credential to be able to do that. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we always got to talk a little BS.
Yep.
Did you see that Chance the Rapper he was recently separated and they have decided to part ways and get divorced?
Yeah, I actually saw that. She might have been yesterday or the day before yesterday. Okay. I seen it on social media. Yeah, because I like Chance. I like Chance a lot, actually.
I do too. Him and his hat.
Yeah, yeah, his hat. Yeah, 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 yeah. I remember one of my boys, Eric, introduced me to his. He had an album called Acid Raps, a mixtape that came out. And I remember I was like, yo, he can rap. You know what I mean? But it was crazy because, like, the stuff that Chance raps about now, or he's rapped about really since he's, like, made it or whatever, it's totally different from, like, the mixtape stuff that I heard. It was like, you know, he was rapping kind of like, you know, grimy, dirty back then. But now it's like, he's in the church stuff. And it's just like, you know, got the different melodies and stuff, man. But, yeah, I did see that. I did see that about him. And it's crazy because I remember this was probably, I can't remember how long ago, maybe a year ago, but I remember it going viral. He was at Carnival. I think it was at Carnival.
Yeah.
He was at Carnival somewhere. I think the girls had like Carnival attire on. So I'm thinking that's where he was at.
Yeah.
And the girl was like dancing on him and everything. And then like.
Oh, I seen that video.
Yeah, it was very.
He was really into it.
Yeah, it was.
Let's
very,
just say that.
Yeah, it was very inappropriate for a married person. You
Correct.
Know what I mean? And so. I seen like it was a big thing that came out about it, and I seen like how, you know, because the persona that Chance has, it kind of didn't really fit the image that most folks looked at him as.
Exactly.
And so it was kind of a thing, and then really, you know, I haven't really heard much from Chance, I would say, since that happened.
Yeah.
And then for to hear this news, I mean, you can kind of, I guess you can kind of, you know.
Bridge the gap.
Yeah, put the
point. Yeah, put the puzzle together.
Yeah, put the puzzle together. And that's probably, you know, one of the reasons why it, you know, what's going on for them. So
yeah.
Hate to hear that, though. I always love black love, man. And
exactly.
I always hope people can figure stuff out, but, you know.
I do, too. I mean, I think that when it comes to your job in general, right? He's a rapper. He's a public figure. Even for someone like us that are like professionals, like you have to carry yourself a certain way.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. Like you can't just, there's certain things that you can do and there's certain things that you just can't do.
Yeah.
I remember like telling my friends, like, I want to go to Carnival. I want to dress up. But if I do that, I'm going out the country. Like I am not doing that within the United States. Like there's a certain way, even when it comes to your kids and how what you do in front of your kids versus what you don't do, like you just have to carry yourself a certain way. You have to realize who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I'm with you. I agree
and
with you.
And so when he was dancing in that video, it was just kind of like, man, like why you do that? Because you know, he was thinking about himself in that moment, but then you got to think about the woman, like, She doesn't deserve that. She don't deserve to wake up and see social media and her man grinding on somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
those are things that people got to realize. Like, you just can't, you got to carry yourself a certain way, unfortunately. And that goes to that, everybody.
That comes with, being a, like you said, a public figure. I mean, you get a lot of access, a lot of money.
It comes with being a professional. It just comes with life. You just can't do certain things. That's just like us, you know, what they call it, code switching. Like, when I'm at home or when I'm on a podcast, I speak in a more laid back way, right? But then when I'm outside these doors, like literally, like where we're sitting outside these doors, when I cross over, I have to switch it up.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because there's an image that we want to carry. It's not that I'm being fake, but because I am myself. My opinion is my opinion, no matter what voice I speak in.
Correct.
You know?
Now, I'm glad you said that too, man, because I remember, and I've had this happen to me, you know, especially growing up here in like, you know, I have my life. I've been blessed. God has given me a lot of things. I've had some successes come my way. And so a lot of like my peers, people I grew up with, I've had conversations and I've had people talk. I've had words get back to me saying like, hey, yo, Brian switched up, you know, Brian, you know, he don't act a certain way or whatever, whatever. And it's like, for me, like, it's not that. It's like you said, it's just like, you got to understand. My mom used to always tell me it's a time and place for everything.
Time and
like
place
my mom,
for everything.
I mean, she literally said that joint.
My mom used to say that all the time,
all
too.
All the time. Like, she'll still say that to this day.
Yes.
She said, Brian, it's a time and place for everything.
Absolutely.
And so I am who I am, but depending upon what's going on and where I'm at, I do have to act a certain way. You know what I mean? And respect the circumstances and the situations that I'm in.
Absolutely.
And I'm still Brian from College Park, but if I'm helping somebody buy a house or I'm sitting here with some people where I have to, you know, be on my, you know, on my best behavior or be doing certain things or have a vernacular that I'm using, like, I got to do that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so I just wanted to mention that because
it doesn't change your mindset. It doesn't change how I feel, how I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't change, like, my opinion. If my manager come in here and asks me a question and it's something I don't like, I'm going to express I don't like it, but I'm not going to say it in a manner that's disrespectful.
Correct.
I just have to go about doing it a different way.
Correct.
Just like how you talk to your spouse versus how you talk to your kids and your friends. You switch it up. You don't just sit and, you know, yell at someone and then turn around and this person, you're, you know, I don't know. It's just a weird way of thinking about things. But it's ultimately what I do, and I know that a lot of people do it, and some people have an issue with it, but
no, I think it's a skill set for real, man. I honestly think it's a skill set, being able to manage your emotions, manage, like, I call it like having self-awareness. Like, I feel like that's like an underrated characteristic, that it can really get you far by you understanding what's going on around you and understanding how you need to insert yourself in those circumstances and what's going on. So I look at it like a superpower.
Adaptability.
You know what I mean? Yeah, 100%.
Like,
yeah.
You know, those are things, those are characteristics, like you said, that a lot of people don't have. So if you don't have it, you need to work on it. All right, guys. Well, I feel like we talked a lot of BS today. We gave you some mortgage tips and tricks. You can follow me at SKB_mortgage.
And you can follow me at Brian, BRYAN_Royster.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.